Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like you.
Hey, what's up, Internet? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. As I near my 40th birthday, as well as the end of a year that I would graciously call experimental, I am becoming increasingly reflective on things I learned this year. From not being an asshole and being more human, to learning from my weaknesses and embracing strengths, I enter my fourth decade hopefully a little wiser, kinder, and more curious than ever. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to share 12 things I learned this year. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/208. I can honestly say that this has been an experimental year for me. Anyone that has listened to the podcast all year have heard the stories of what I've been through. And the end of last year, I was burnt out from running my own business. So I decided that I was going to search for a job. I landed a job only to quit it 4 months later, took a bunch of teaching jobs thinking that would satisfy me personally as well as economically, only to discover that my future was going to be more like my past. As I approach my 40th birthday in a few weeks, I think about what I learned this year, what I want to remember, and the foundation that I'm going to build upon next year. So in this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to share 12 things that I learned this year, and hopefully what you can learn from my lessons as well. First, don't be an asshole. This is something that has been a painful lesson for me to learn. Don't be an asshole means many things to me. It can mean the tone of language, the tone of voice that I speak with. It can be the body language that I hold myself with. Sometimes the know-it-all attitude that I have. The embarrassingly lack of humility that I occasionally can have. And the observations that I make on social media and how people come across and how people come across and how I come across in person. This idea of not being an asshole is probably the most important lesson that I learned this year. There was a moment in my job, the beginning of the year, where I realized just how important body language is, not only in a remote setting, but in an in-person setting. The way we hold ourselves is the key to how people perceive us. My body language was saying that I am miserable. And that just came across that I was despising of where I was. And I was coming across as an asshole. And I wasn't intending to be. But this is just how the tone of voice, the body language, all of it was coming together. I thought I knew it all. This is a recurring theme. As I near the end of this year, I realize just what I don't know. I don't want to be an asshole. And that means that I have to admit that I don't know so much. And that is okay. When I look at what people are sharing on social media, the tone that they use, it may not be the tone that they intend to use, but it's the tone that comes across. I want to not be that person who comes across as someone that knows it all, that wants to beat people into submission. That to me is what an asshole is. I don't want to be an asshole. Second, listen more, talk less, correct often. You can never listen enough. I've had moments in the classroom recently where I really felt like I needed to steamroll through the content. But what I realized was I just needed to be quiet because silence is golden, because in that silence, people tend to speak up. If all you're doing is talking, there's no room for people to listen, reflect, and speak up. And so in those moments where, as a teacher, I'm trying to bring out the thoughts of others, they're not going to fill the space if I'm filling it. So I need to listen more and talk less. But the interesting thing, the third part of that phrase that I mentioned, is that I need to correct often. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to admit when you're wrong. but it's also okay to challenge the assumptions of yourself and others. And so that's where correct often comes in. Third, you can never be kind enough to yourself and others. As much as the second one was correcting often, you have to correct kindly. But you also have to be kind to yourself. This is a brutal world, and it's only getting more and more brutal as we see and experience the atrocities of others, the atrocities of the systems that have been built to magnify the voices of the powerful and minimize the lives of the weak. And the kinder we can be to one another, the kinder we can be ourselves, the more we can magnify the beauty that we can learn and experience from one another. Fourth, your self-talk determines your daily success. I am very unkind to myself in my self-talk, in my internal self-talk. And what I realized is that was not really getting me the results that I was hoping for. The words that I say to myself, the kind of encouragement that I give myself. When I was kind to myself, I had better days. When I told myself that I was stupid and that I sucked and that there was no way that I would ever make it, you know what? Those were days that sucked. Those were days that were downright shitty and horrible. And so when I was kind to myself, when I gave myself encouraging words, I was kinder to others. I was more focused on making this world a little bit better. Fifth, allow your weaknesses to guide you to new ideas for your life and work. One of the biggest lessons, you know, learned that this is a result of is, as an instructor, one of my biggest weaknesses is really grading, doing the busy work of reading papers, leaving comments, and trying to give feedback that is beneficial to others. That is a massive weakness that I have. It leads me to procrastinate. It leads me to avoidance of work and dreaming of new things. But in that weakness, it led me to new ideas. I still like to teach, but what are new ways that I can teach? What are some new ways that I can still give feedback to other people and magnify and maximize their work without having to do all of the busy work? That is something that is so important. So in my weakness, I'm seeing new ideas and new strengths, and that is so important. Sure, I could get beat down at the weaknesses, and I'm certain that the standardized reviews are going to magnify those weaknesses. But at the same time, I want to learn from those weaknesses so I can be strong. Sixth, set an appropriate scale for your experiments. This has definitely been a year of experimentation. Some experiments lasted 4 months. And what I realized is when I am in a state of experimentation, 4 months is way too long. I need to have experiments that are fast so that I can learn as quickly as possible. 1 to 2 months for me is the maximum length of commitment for things that I am unsure of or things that I want to experiment with. And even then, that length of time can be too long. To me, long-term work can be extremely draining and unsustainable for the life and work I want to pursue. So I need to be sure that with the long-term work that I want to do, that it is not experimental, but that it is sustainable and life-giving. Seventh, this is something that I really came across this week. Work with people who make communication a breeze. I recognize that communication is a two-way street, but there are some people that you can't help but want to communicate with. Just the way that they respond, the way that you show up, that is the beauty of communication. And so make note of the people who really put a smile on your face that you can't wait to even call or email or reach out to. Those are the people that you are going to want to work with. That's something that I really learned this week. I love communicating with certain clients more than others, and I'm going to find the people that make communication a breeze. Eighth, no one will perform the way you expect them to, even yourself. I see this with students. I see this in talks with other teachers who are dealing with students. The students will never do work the way that we want them to. They'll always procrastinate because we always procrastinate. You know, it's human nature to procrastinate. And you know what? As much as we want to, we're going to never perform the way others expect us to. On one hand, that's incredibly frustrating. But when you remove that expectations of others, it leads you to be surprised when they perform the way that they do. When you see them for the people that they are and for the things that they are doing, when you lessen your expectation of others, it allows other people to step up and shine, even in the littlest bits. Ninth, trust your intuition. Intuition may not be the most rational of approaches, but it's incredibly useful. That gut response can lead you to less painful realizations in the long run when you really pay attention to how you're feeling about something. In our world, we want to systematize and rationalize everything so that we can get the maximum economical gain. And the maximum economical gain cannot at times be intuitive. And that can be incredibly frustrating. But at the same time, when we trust our intuition, we tend to make greater gains in the long run because we're not doing work that we don't want to be doing. So trust your intuition. 10th, building and nurturing relationships is the best marketing you can do. I think often about marketing because in many ways, the work that I do is promotional in nature for clients. But at the same time, when I think about the work that I get, the work that I'm able to do, it's through the relationships that I have built and nurtured over time. That is the work that we need to do for others. That is the work that we need to do for ourselves. We need to consistently and constantly build and nurture relationships. Sure, Facebook ads, YouTube ads, social media marketing, search engine marketing, all of those things are great. But will they ever be greater than the relationships that we build? Can we truly scale in terms of the finances that it takes to reach more people than just finding the people that we can reach out to and be human with? This is one of those questions that I'm constantly going to be thinking about now. 11th, words matter to others and yourself. I think often about the words that I use to describe the work that I do. And recently, I've been working with a good friend of mine. Hi, Tim. And we've been helping each other with our businesses, giving each other encouragement, helping us to find the things that we're struggling with and work through them. And one of the things that I've really struggled with is how to describe the work that I do so that it's attractive to other people. And recently, I came across the words that are important to me. And as I share them with others, they either light up or they don't. And when they light up, that's when I realize those are the people that I want to be working with. And so the words that I came up with are real people, unique stories. Chris Martin Studios captures the moments and magic that set you apart. Unveil your unique story today. As I think about that, there are a few words that are incredibly important and combinations thereof. Real people. I want to work with real people. I want to tell unique stories, and I want to capture the moments and magic that set people apart. I kind of debated using the word magic, but at the same time, there's something magical about the people that I connect with and the people that light up when they hear the word magic. That's kind of exciting to me. So words matter to others and yourself when you're not only sharing the work that you want to do, but at the same time, the words that either build you up or tear you down. Words like curiosity and magical and life and real and people, those are things to me that are exciting. But think about the words that are draining, hopeless, exhausting, tiring. Those words start to make me feel just like the words that they are. So think about the words that you use. Think about the words that you say. Think about the words that really bring you life and connect with others. 12th and finally, follow your curiosity and see where it goes. This year has been a year of experiments. It's a year of following curiosity and seeing where it leads. And where it has led is where my life has been. And that's okay. I'm excited to return to Chris Martin Studios and seeing where it's going to go. And I'm excited to really continue building and nurturing relationships with people and telling their unique stories. This is nothing new to me, but at the same time, it's new in a sense that it's exciting. It's new in the sense that it is real. And that search for reality is what's important to me. And so follow your curiosity. Where is it going to lead in the coming year? What do you want to learn from this year even? I encourage you to reflect on the lessons that you've learned in 2018 and use this time to really connect with people that maybe you need to reconnect with and really find ways to be nicer, kinder, and more human. Because in this world, while it may be a utopian thought, we need to be kinder to one another so that we can help one another to be more human and just better than we have been in the past. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It means so much to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to? Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm @CMStudios. As you may have noticed in this podcast, I talk a lot about curiosity, and you might be thinking, Chris, why curiosity? Well, I think it's the antidote to conformity. And if you'd like to learn more, sign up for the Curiosity Lab. Every Monday, you'll get weekly inspiration, connection to new ideas, and early access to some new things that I've got cooking for 2019. You can sign up today at thecuriositylab.net or at the bottom of the show notes page at gwtw.co/208. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.